Hey, this is Cloud Cord.
Hi, this is Brian Moss from Spafford.
I'm Dylan Gleit from Eminence Ensemble, and you're listening.
And you're listening to Galaxy Jams Reacts.
It is time.
Howdy ho, what's going on everyone? Welcome to another episode of Galaxy Jams Reacts. We're here live from the Starfire Studios on a beautiful Sunday afternoon. My name is Mike. We got EJ.
How you doing?
We have Anna.
Howdy.
And today we have very special guest, PRS guitar endorsed musician, Rob Compa. How you doing, Rob?
I am good.
So when are you going to change your ID to say that? Because if I was endorsed by PRS Guitars, I literally would say you have to address me as PRS Guitars endorsed artist Rob Compa. So when are you going to change? Like, that's what I would do, is literally change my ID to that.
Never thought to do that.
I watched a show called BoJack Horseman, and he wins an Emmy. And then the entire rest of the series, he has the Emmy in his left hand. So right when he wins the Emmy, he never puts it down. The entire rest of, it's like four seasons of him holding the Emmy the whole time.
That's hilarious.
Which is hilarious. So we're so excited to be able to sit and listen to music with you. And we do have some people in the chat. Thank you so much for checking us out. Today, we're going to be listening to a great litany of music. We're going to be listening to Queen, music by Club de Elf. We're also going to be listening to music by King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard.
Yo.
And then we're also going to be listening to music by Polyphia. But today we're going to start with a classic, one of my favorite bands, Queen. Why don't you tell us all about it, EJ?
Well, sure. It's from 1986. Rob, have you listened to a lot of Queen in your life?
You want to know something? Just 2 days ago, I bought A Night at the Opera on vinyl because I just figured it would be good to have on vinyl. Nice. So,
that
yes.
That would be good. Yeah. That would be good. Well, we're bringing some Queen to you today.
Cool.
This is from their album, Kind of Magic, from 1986, the title track. And have you ever seen Highlander? Are you into Highlander movies?
I have not seen Highlander, so, but I like this already because it's the year I was born. So that, I feel like it's a good omen.
Uh-huh. Very cool. Well, it's kind of the soundtrack in the Highlander movies as well. Kind of corresponded with this album. So then you know that. Here it is. Queen, A Kind of Magic on Galaxy Jams Reacts.
Oh, yeah.
It's a kind of magic. It's a kind of magic. A kind of magic.
Dang, I didn't realize how big those synths were.
One soul, one prize, one gold, one golden glance of what should be. It's a kind of magic. One shot of life.
Oh my God, this is so epic. He's so good.
He's an icon.
No more.
This is like Harry Potter before Harry Potter.
This is Harry Potter and the Age of Rocky Rabbit.
Yeah.
Eternity, yeah. The day will dawn. Sanity.
I love those effects.
Of magic. We walk this range that lasts a thousand years. Will soon be done. This flame that burns inside of me. I'm hearing secrets.
He's doing a great job on the bass.
He was a very unsung writer and arranger on Queen, too. He doesn't get enough credit.
Oh, yeah. It's charging the doors of time. So, Rob Campa, what do you think?
A funny thing that's just like, I thought it was really kind of coincidental is that right before we did this, I was learning for a gig I have coming up. I was learning this Ben Folds song, Rockin' the Suburbs. Have you ever heard that song?
Nice. Yeah, I love that song.
And it's the same chords as the verse, 1 to 2 major to 4 major.
Oh, sweet.
I thought that was funny. Not that that's a very uncommon chord progression, right? You know, but I don't know. What am I thinking here? I have to like maybe have like a little bit of a disclaimer that I'm probably a terrible music listener, honestly. Like, because I do it for a living, it's kind of like actually like it. Sometimes it's a little hard to like for somebody who works in movies, they would just notice like lighting and stuff all the time and like all these little things,
right?
You know. So I'm like paying attention to the chord progression when someone else would just be like, this is catchy. I like it, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, it's the same way with me.
Yeah. I like how like, and I feel like Rush did this too. Like a lot of bands did this where they like embraced synthesizers so hard in the 80s. And there's actually like very little guitar in it, even though like Queen is sort of initially like, they're like Zeppelin, like they're a power trio who also has a singer.
Right.
Right.
You know,
absolutely.
But I like how I always listen, man, I can't not listen to guitar first. It's just the first thing I notice. I love how out of the way Brian May stays. Like he almost is like a session player on this.
Right.
Just like tasty little fills whenever there's enough space in between vocal lines to have them. Never stepping on the vocals' toes because Freddie Mercury is everything in Queen. You don't interfere with that, you know?
Yeah, and this is really like a ballad song. It's really the whole thing is just about him. And another thing I noticed is the electronic drums because, again, the drums are like super, super background in this as opposed to a lot of other Queen songs where the drummer's just like going absolutely nuts.
Yeah.
What do you think, Anna?
I agree. I love Freddie Mercury and his vocals are so eclectic and just crisp, but I really enjoy how the music, like the instruments, they find a way to, like you said, find that space,
right?
Just to for little perfect embellishments, like a little doing here,
right? Or exactly,
and it just adds to like the magic that is Queen for me.
Yeah, really, the guy's bass line too in the song is
tying the whole thing together.
Oh yeah, it's just the constant.
Very grounding.
Grounding.
Yeah, and I also noticed lastly that there's like random little artifacts that they bring up and then never touch on again. Like in the beginning, there was like this synth sound and there's also like random like bleeps and quirks that they just kind of throw in as a one-off. And then it's kind of rare to find it, you know, when you have a band this big and it's like that polished of a product.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Let's get back. Yeah, I just want to say, I remember, I think watching like a classic albums documentary about A Night at the Opera where like Brian May is like, if you're going to just have every verse be the exact same thing, then like, what are you doing? Like, why are you even there making anything?
Uh-huh.
Like, you know,
I feel like a lot of musicians go on autopilot where they're like, that sounded good. Copy paste. We're good. You know? And like, even if it sounds great, like, why does it have to be the same thing 5 times?
Well, to their credit, there was no such thing probably as copy paste.
Yeah.
You know, they wouldn't have even thought of that.
Right. Except a little cut and tape. That would be terrible.
Yeah.
That'd be like the most arduous project.
That'd be more time consuming than just writing something different for the next verse.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I like the post production too, like the fun little effects that they're putting on. Oh, there he is.
But like a jazzy Brian.
Yeah, like really background too.
Oh, yeah, almost a little Brian Setzer-y.
Yeah.
Oh, never mind. I spoke too soon.
Yeah, there he is.
That was a glitch, and then it was just cheesy 80s editing.
Uh-huh.
With the microphone toss.
And I like how they have like the, you know, Jessica Rabbit type of, you know, cartoons that they just threw in there too.
Yeah, totally.
This is yummy.
Again, more electronic drums. You kind of look like the Joker right there. Oh, that was cool.
This could be like an ad for like Haunted Mansion at Disney World. Too.
I was thinking that. It's very like Disney, like haunted film.
Like spooky more than scary.
Yeah.
They're like spooky in like a Scooby-Doo way.
Spooky. Yeah, like fun. Fun spooky.
Spoopy, if you will.
Dang, that was dope. And I really like how tasteful they were with the guitar, that like the whole time they're kind of keeping him at bay until they take the leash off and he's able to get like, you know, I wish that he just kept going longer.
Yeah. And I'm just, Eddie Mercury is just so fabulous. He just commands the stage like nobody else.
It's like the elephant in the room in a good way.
Yeah.
You know,
I will say I'm a huge proponent, even though you wouldn't think so because I'm in a jam band where you just go forever and ever. But I'm a huge proponent of the short solo. It's like one of my favorite, most masterful things in the world. I love it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's difficult when you're recording to keep trimming all of the fat to make sure that you have this like 3.5 to 4.5 minute thing. And I remember we were in the studio and we made like a 7.5 minute song and we literally couldn't figure out what to cut. And, you know, like to your point, Rob, is that guitar solos can go on forever, but like placing each of those notes to be like in the optimum position to get like maximum connectivity with your audience and like what you want in such a short amount of time is like such a hard task.
My favorite example of that ever is the little guitar solo in Carry That Weight off of Abbey Road.
It feels like it was just like
in nature and in biology, like that was meant to be the solo break in that song. It's just, it just is.
That's how a lot of the Beatles solos were too. George Harrison did a lot of that very precise, short and sweet licks that you remember, you know.
No one else is going to come up with anything better than that for that little part.
Absolutely.
It's about dancing the fine line between being self-indulgent and serving the song. And I feel like, especially with guitar solos, it's really, really difficult to do that.
Yeah, because it's so easy to play with your eyes and hands and not with your mind.
Yeah.
Or whatever else has nothing to do with the, you know, physical stuff.
Right.
So, yeah.
Great point, Rob. We have the Dame Smith in the chat. Yeah. He said, Freddie, great showman or the greatest showman?
Oh.
I mean, probably.
I'd say one of the greatest.
Right.
One of the
greatest.
I'd say the greatest. I don't think there's much argument there.
Right.
No. Yeah. Have you seen that video of like him getting a whole stadium of people to like, and then you see like the sound, like the rippling amongst the crowd because the sound is coming out and everyone's reacting like at the same
time. Are you talking about Live Aid?
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. It was Live Aid.
Well, you know, that same day at that same concert, Led Zeppelin reunited and Queen just like totally made him look silly. You know,
it's the biggest one up, you know,
that's saying something. If you make Robert Plant look like he doesn't know what he's doing, you're really something special, you know?
Right. And the Dane Smith in the chat also says he certainly had the outfit on point, which I agree. I mean, he could make, you know, like that outfit on me would make me look like I worked at Best Buy.
Freddie Mercury could put on anything and I'd be like,
yeah, definitely. He was a master of not only the moves and the voice, but just the his outfits were always really cool, too.
And the legacy. You know, like people thought of him as a certain way and he really lived up to it.
Absolutely.
Which is hard to
do. Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to listen to a fan pick for you right after this.
Oh.
We're just sitting here on a lovely Sunday afternoon listening to music with Rob Compa from Dopapod, and we're listening to a fan pick that was brought by Tim Palmieri from Lotus. I know that you guys have some history together. He's like, The Breakfast is probably my favorite jam band, which is his previous band.
Yeah. And
I'm a gigantic fan of his and I'm a gigantic fan of yours. And I thought it would be so interesting to see what music he wanted you to listen to. So we're going to be listening to Eric Johnson. Tim said that he picked this song because it's a quintessential Stratocaster tone, super clean tone while also being able to rock. His execution is flawless and smooth, fast, tasty, bluesy, shred, and a great composition to boot. I grew up with the song and I love sharing deep cuts with Rob. So we're going to be listening to Eric Johnson from his 2009 album Trademark. This is a fan request from Tim Palmieri with Lotus. We're listening to the song Trademark.
I know the song, definitely.
I know the sound of it.
Oh my God, that guitar tone is like butter.
Angelic.
It's like blues rock with a wink.
Yeah. Yeah.
How he's creating space nicely. Mm-hmm. Not like trying to fill it all.
His choice of effects are really cool on this guitar.
Sounds like the Rippingtons.
The sweet bass line.
Oh yeah, he's everywhere.
Dive they put in, they overdid in there. That's great.
Into epicness.
Oh, yeah, that like that march. I got overdubbed too.
I'm a big fan of his other famous song, Cliffs of Dover, too, if you've never heard
that. Oh, yeah.
That's a great song. Yeah. And his guitar tone is just, you know, you hear Eric Johnson's guitar tone, you're like, that's just Eric Johnson. Mm-hmm. You know, it has that specific tone that he plays around.
Very singular. Yeah.
Definitely. I like when you were talking about how he doesn't fill all the space. I think that sometimes creates that build of like when you finally hear that guitar note, you're like,
right, exactly, because he's like playing it like so simply, but it's like every single note is like totally on purpose.
Thought
and
out.
I like how you mentioned Cliffs of Dover, because that song won the Grammy Award for Best Rock Instrumental Performance. Ooh. And Guitar Player Magazine called Eric Johnson one of the most respected guitar players on the planet. Rob, you've heard of Eric Johnson before, right?
Oh my God, I wouldn't be allowed to be a guitar player and not know Eric Johnson.
So do you know how you found out about him?
Yes, I know exactly where I had heard his name, and I had heard he was really, I think I'd heard Cliffs of Dover somewhere. I think like at a friend's house or something. And then when I really found out about him, this is like maybe 2001. And I had like a little, like one of those like TV VCR combos in my bedroom. And late at night, I like couldn't fall asleep, and I was like watching PBS, and Austin City Limits was on, and it was a live Eric Johnson like in studio Austin City Limits performance, and I found like some videotape lying around. I remember the videotape. It was the movie City of Angels with Nicolas Cage, which is a useless movie. So I was like, I'll tape right over this, and I taped it. I still had I had them until my parents, they just sold their house and kind of like threw out everything. But until then, I still had that videotape. I think he plays this song on it. maybe, but that's how I found out about him, which is a really powerful thing to like see him doing everything. I mean, it sounds amazing. And then he doesn't make it look easy. It's not one of those things where it looks as
difficult as it is,
virtuosic as it sounds, you know.
It sounds so regal, and it also sounds so like collected and on purpose, you know.
And
we've only been listening to half of the song, and we've just been talking for a few moments, and I have it stuck in my head already.
Oh yeah, you can't escape. He's really good hooks, really good hooks.
I've never been one for the kind of 80s guitar for the sake of guitar kind of stuff. He sort of always transcended that for me a bit, and I always loved him. Even though he did like G3 tours with Steve Vai and Joe Satriani and he still kind of gets put in that category. But I think a lot of it has to do with that he cares about harmony way more than a lot of those other guys do. Like, he almost approaches guitar in a very like Wes Montgomery or Joe Pass kind of way.
Yeah.
Using all these like beautiful chord voicings and like cool spread triads. And I don't know if anybody even knows what that means. Maybe I'm just talking. Tim certainly knows if he's listening. Yeah, all this beautiful chord motion. And I also love that he almost has like two guitar rigs at once. I mean, he really does. Yeah. He has like an A-B switch. So he has like really clean amps on one side, and then he hits a button and it activates this wall of Marshalls. So it almost sounds like two different guitar players.
That's what I thought, or like him overdubbing himself. But really it wasn't. It was just on the fly. Like he would
he
like
does
finish
that in
his
real
own
time,
sentence.
Though, too.
Yeah.
He does. Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah. He's one of the best ever.
And I like how the drummer's just perfectly staying the hell out of the way.
Yeah.
Like doing, but like laying it down for him.
I think it's Tommy Taylor. I think that's the drummer for Eric Johnson back then.
Smooth at doing that.
Yeah.
That's a really cool part, too.
I love that fill, the 16th note fill there.
Yeah.
That was something, huh?
Incredible.
Yeah.
It's such great. There's like so many great, just singularly by themselves guitar lines in that song. Like, you could just listen to that piece over and over again, just that little piece, and you're like, that's great in itself, the whole entire thing.
Finding new things to like about it every time.
Yeah.
I've thought this for many years, that like if I could steal a guitar player's right hand, it would be Eric Johnson's.
Oh, yeah. Like, he did some crazy like plucking stuff and.
Yeah, all that, but just his can play as fast as he wants and still pick every note if he feels like it, just but never looks like he's like it's always relaxed, you know. Yeah, just incredible. That's unbelievable.
I agree. Even his like stuff where he was like starting to rock out, it even still had that relaxed tone to it. It was
yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah,
that's a good observation.
Yeah, I think that the connection between his brain and his hands is broadband. You know, he's just straight up got no filter and going right for it. And I also like, Rob, how you mentioned those other G3 guys like Joe Satriani and Steve Vai. And I think that they're playing the same game, but they're in like a different race. Because when I listen to like Steve Vai, like I'm expecting like a certain thing. And when you listen to Eric Johnson, it's like, I feel like you're not, it's not like so much like the singular guitar god. It's more like this person that writes like really, really good bluesy music, but then also on the side, he's like totally can like melt your face like in a moment's notice.
Whereas, well, I think it also helps that he sings too. I don't think Fi or Satriani sing. Right. Maybe. I don't know.
I think Joe Satriani do like one album where he tried singing on it? I can't remember.
I don't know. I don't listen to a lot of Joe Satriani, but yeah, I mean, I love Steve Vai. I saw him once when I was in college and I love Steve Vai too. Joe Satriani, I don't. Not love. I just haven't checked him out that much, right. You know.
Haven't dealt.
But Steve Vai to me too is like very. It's. I think he. It's underrated how melodic he is. Like
right.
Something can be fast and still be melodic. You know.
Oh, absolutely. It's like almost like it sounded like a dreamscape almost.
Yeah, yeah. Well, just Eric Johnson has a little. It's a little more cerebral than some of those other guys to me. Mm-hmm. On a musical level, maybe not on a like a. Conceptual level or something. It's still definitely instrumental music, but it's really well thought out and meticulously crafted. And
it's almost mathematical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You don't have to be aggressive to be high energy. And I think that this is a great example of that, of him being able to take the energy to a 10, but he's not like, you know, a typical high energy shredder where like other bands that get there.
Yeah, absolutely. We got a bunch more music to come. Looking up, we've got Polyphia coming. We've got some Tom Waits and some other bands as well. So we will be back with some of that right after this.
I had a hard time picking music for this just because I want to pick something that maybe not everyone has heard, but I also want it to be stuff that people will like.
Right.
And I don't know a ton of Tom Waits albums, but I've had this album, Rain Dogs, since I was 17. Mm. Every song on the record is perfect, in my opinion. But this is the title track, and I think it's kind of the one that might be the most, it was the first one that really grabbed my attention. So
right.
I figured it might do the same for other people. It's a really like dark, creepy, almost like Tim Burton-y record.
Ooh.
Really. Yeah. It's so messed up and so good. And I really love music where you have no idea. I mean, I love lyrics a lot and I try to pay attention to them. I really love lyrics when I have no idea what they're about. You don't have any idea what this is about, but it's also so image evoking and detailed. And like the fact that I can't tell what it's about makes me want to know so much more. Mm-hmm. And I never will. I can make my own perceptions of it. That might change like every couple of years or something.
Right.
And also Mark Rebo plays guitar on this. Who's like a, just sort of like musician's musician, like one of the all time great sort of like New York jazz scene improvisers. And he plays some really great, really unique, weird guitar on it. Enjoy.
Let's get it.
Yeah, check it out. Tom Waits and Rain Dogs.
I love this already.
Oh, yeah, it's so great.
Sounds like the Addams Family.
Yeah. The whole song to me. Dance and we swallowed the night, for it was all ripe for dreaming.
or Glockenspiel, or something akin to that.
Yeah. Aboard a
shipwreck train. I love this really like lonesome horn too.
I love Tom Waits when Tom Waits gets this way where it's to me, I always envision him as just like a carnival guy. Uh-huh. Like he's at a carnival. Yeah. His music has that kind of carnival-y sound to it, but kind of like you're right, kind of dark, kind of Tim Burton-ish, mm-hmm. kind of has that feel. Yeah. I love Tom Waits vocals and things like that. And he does some really, really great albums out there. Have you listened to much Tom Waits other than this?
No, not a ton, honestly. Like I kind of was always like, this record's enough for me. This is incredible. I'm still learning things about it when I listen to it, right. Even almost 20 years after I bought it for the first time.
I might have.
So, but yeah, I've checked out another one called Swordfish Trombones, I think, which is sort of like a lot of people kind of think of it like, almost like they're similar enough records that they could have been a double album, kind of like with like Revolver and Rubber Soul with the Beatles.
Right.
And then another one that came out like in the 2000s called Mule Variations. That one I didn't take to quite as much, but I always thought it was cool. It has Lair Lalonde from Primus on guitar on it, which is kind of neat.
I was going to say this almost gives me like Primus-esque in like the lyrics and like kind of the styling of the way that the music is written.
Yeah. Mm. And like, good luck knowing what those lyrics are. Sorry, I was getting a call. Good luck knowing what those lyrics are about, but like you want to know so badly. Yeah. Apparently what I've read is that whole album is sort of a concept album about like bohemian New York City life. That's basically what the record's about.
I could get that. I could, from like the small little tidbits, like where he's like talking about getting a taxi and everything.
Yeah. Taxi. We'd rather walk, huddle a doorway with the rain dogs. And what a cool, a rain dog.
Rain like, dogs. The hell? Yeah.
Rain dog. I want to know so bad.
Is it not the people walking the streets of New York?
I guess. Right. So. What a cool album cover too. Isn't that amazing album cover? It's one of those covers that you like, you don't even need to hear the record and you want to buy it.
Iconic album photos.
You want to know something funny too? That's not Tom Waits on the cover. It's just somebody who looks like him.
Oh really? Yeah, looks just like him.
Oh my God. Looks that's so like funny. Him. And I also get like Major Gogol Bordello and Modest Mouse vibes from this. It kind of seems like those bands listened to this and this was like a natural evolution of like more angst and more higher energy and, you know, going towards that kind of like almost gypsy, like, you know, like swagger type of like alcohol vibe. Right.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the Tom Waits thing where, you know, he just smoked cigarettes all day, drinks. Right. Well, it's like the precursor to a lot of bands that kind of make that their own sentimentality as well, where they're like, oh, we're like the get drunk, you know, and rock out band like Gogol Bordello is.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel you there.
Also, that guitar is with
the rose real. It's just real. It sounds like a first take.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love the slapback echo.
It gives it like a kooky vibe.
I don't think there's any snare drum in the entire song.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Chuck pointed that out to me when I showed him our bass player. Also, wait till the fade out. There's this great scream at the end that you gotta hear. Danced and you whispered to me,
you'll never be going back home. Going for that slow fade out.
Nice.
Oh, we heard it.
Yeah, the screen's the best. They're like, it's kind of like, you're like, oh, you faded it out right at the best part. Are you kidding me, Tom? You know,
I want to walk through Haunted House listening to that song.
Yeah, I love that. You got to listen to that whole record. Yeah. And there's like beautiful, really sentimental songwritery songs on it too. That would just like, some of the lyrics on it will like just absolutely like
floor me.
Just blow your mind. Yeah.
Have you guys ever heard of like those cult classic albums where you hear someone like a little thing of someone screaming and that's like the sound of like someone that got like murdered in the studio or something? Have you ever heard of that? There's like some famous songs that have that.
I listened to a podcast where they do a lot of ghost stories and like historical hauntings.
Uh-huh.
And they sometimes talk, they've talked about haunted music, like theaters and like different like record studios where like crazy murders happen. And
right.
They'll be like,
so that scream reminded me of that. Like maybe it was like something crazy and they like stuck it in and like the world will never know.
Or,
oh wait, are you saying that there's allegedly albums that have like recordings of inexplicable sounds of people screaming on them that
right.
recorded on them?
Right.
Oh wow, that's spooky.
That or it'll be like a ghost or something.
Yeah, or something like that. Or it's like, you know, spooky. The sound of something happening that's bad and they just stuck it in there to be edgy and then like the world doesn't know.
Well, like that's like the same thing with like people like when like now I feel like a lot in like rap music you hear like gunshots. So you'll hear like an actual clip from a riot or something like that. So it's like one of those somber moments, but like sometimes they do it to be that like kind of edgy, you know, take it there type of moment.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
All right. Well, that was awesome. Thank you for bringing that to us.
Sure.
It's really good to hear Tom Waits. I listened to him for a while and I kind of, you know, veered off and I'm going to go back and start listening to him again.
I'm going to have to check that album out too. I haven't heard the rest of it. I feel like I recognize that song a little bit from somewhere, but that sounds incredible. Like you said, it makes you want to know more.
Makes you want to drink wine.
It's a start to finish album too. You'll want to listen to that whole record from beginning to end if you get it.
Cool. We really, really appreciate you bringing that onto the show, Rob. Thank you so much for that.
Got it.
And why don't we move on to the next one right after this?
All right. This next song is called Playing God by Polyphia. It's off the album Remember That You Will Die, coming out October 28th, 2022.
A preview.
Mm-hmm. Let's get it.
Yeah, I was a really big fan of these guys right when they first came out, too.
His guitar playing is just nasty.
Wow.
Video is cool too.
Yeah. Those drums are really nice.
There's just so much to say about every little part of what's going on right
there's
now.
There's so much going on. Their playing sounds like popping bubbles. Like,
yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, just like it. It's like, boop, 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 it's boop, so boop, crisp. Like,
because they have like the strings, you can hear like the clicking of like either if they're using a pick or like when they're hitting it. And also it just reminds me of a natural evolution of bands like Animals as Leaders and Chon and like Mute Math, even like those like guitar technical bands, you know, that like they're kind of taking it into this like hip hop kind of trappy sort of minimalistic drums alongside these really, really prolific, fast moving strings. Have you ever heard of Polyphia before, Rob?
I've seen that guitar player all over Instagram. I didn't know that they were also in Polyphia, because a lot of times you just see an anonymous video of somebody playing something incredible and you're like, wow.
It's like it could either be like a famous person or just like a dude sitting in his room who no one knows.
You mentioned Animals as Leaders and Sean, and I I saw them play years ago. We were on tour and we were in Michigan and we had a day off, and there was, you know, kind of one of those venues where there's like a small side and a big side. And we were rehearsing in the small side and they were playing a show together on the big side. So I like snuck over and got to see Animals as Leaders. I didn't know who Chan was, but I actually kind of, they stole the show for me.
That's always nice.
I thought they were amazing.
Yeah, it's those like technical guitar bands, you know, where like, oh, yeah, we don't have vocals. And it's just like, it started with like shoegaze, right? And then like math rock. And now they're kind of forming, like it's getting more and more legs to kind of appeal to a wider variety of people. And I feel like the drums, you know, really do that.
You know, I feel kind of does that in like the jam scene. Talk does a really good job of that. Kind of like that technical, almost like hip hop sounding sometimes, if that makes sense.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like it's all in the drums, you know. And then like I also noticed that it was like, even though the drums were doing a great job, it was so minimalistic and left a lot of really, really open space. And it's when bands can do quote unquote drops without it being like a straight up typical EDM buildup, where it's like instead of like dropping the floor from under you, they kind of like float, like you're floating above until like the next movement that they want to take you through.
Yeah, I think they did a really good job of that, like kind of drop without the drop, but like it still has the same momentum. He makes me want to get a neck tattoo.
Oh, they're shooting in my house.
This song sounds so good, it about freaks me out.
The way he's doing it, like I could do this in my sleep, like laying down on the bed.
His technique's impressive.
Yeah, and you don't even get a chance to breathe, you know, like while he's going, you're like hanging on to every note. I just feel like it's so hard to make really technical, complicated stuff without being pretentious about it. And they do a great job at, you know, making sure that like this song, like it's something that needs to be said, as opposed to just like, you know, doing it just because they can.
I mean, I do think it's a little pretentious, but I think they own it so hard that it's like, they're in a fucking mansion playing.
Right, right. You know? That's their, like, that's their,
it's so funny.
It's pretentious.
Yeah.
But it's like,
and they're chilling the mansion while they're doing
it. But they know it and they rock it. Like it's like, it's in that sense, it's very, very real and honest. You know what I mean?
They commit.
It's very genuine. That music kind of just sounds like 2022 to me. You know, it's like,
crisp.
Yeah.
And crisp, like very extremely high fidelity.
Yeah.
I don't mean this in a bad way at all, but like very like Instagram guitar.
Yeah, like almost like a TikTok band, because that would be perfect for like a 10-second little thing that gets like a quadrillion views. Yeah, I mean,
you know, a lot of the best guitar playing you're going to see anywhere. It's funny how that's a thing. It's like seeing guitar playing is on social media now.
Right.
So
it almost reminded me of like the like an Apple ad, like when they're like, here is our 10,000th watch. Watch us throw it into the ocean. And that would be playing in the background. Like,
yeah. Or it sounded like AI music. Like if you like threw like,
now that,
like an guitar, algorithm or
right,
something.
That's what it sounded like to me.
Don't even get me started.
Some of that harmonics work that he was doing with the rhythmic snaps of you know, I don't know how to explain it. His guitar playing really, really impressed me.
And the drums, all on acoustic instruments too. Yeah. That was crazy.
Yeah. That was something that I noticed from the get go. I was like, "Are you fucking kidding me?" Like,
yeah. And the drummer did a really good job of bringing that trap vibe, especially like his hi hat work. It was like, you know, which kind of gave it like that modern like sheen to it, as opposed to making that band sound like in the past, like those other bands we were talking about. I feel like the drums is like what's elevating it, and also. Like there was like this whistling, like production, like besides the guitars, it was like some kind of lead or melody that they were playing along to as well, which I thought was a nice touch.
Yeah, I liked the whistling. That was a cool choice. I dug it.
Very, very cool. Well, we're so happy to be here and listening to music with you, Rob. We have another fan pick coming at you right after this. We're listening to music with Rob Compa from Dopapod. How's it going, Rob? Thanks for joining us. You having fun?
I'm having a great time. I'm just looking to see how my phone battery is doing, and it's doing very well.
Oh, good.
Awesome. Right. Makes me happy to hear that.
Beautiful.
So today we're listening to a fan pick from Brian Moss of Spafford.
Hey-o.
Attaboy.
Yeah, we asked him to recommend a song, and so this song is by an artist called Return to Forever. Brian says... Hi, Rob. Getting ready for fatherhood? I'm only a call away anytime you want to chat, either about the babe or guitar. I remember talking to you about this peach at Peach Fest 2021. So happy it's coming to fruition. Thank you so much for the recommendation last week. That was when we had Brian on our show and you recommended a song for him to listen to.
Yeah.
He said, here's one of my tried and true jams by Return to Forever. All of the players are pretty young here, especially featuring a young Al Demiola on electric guitar. All the solos are absolutely mind-blowing, but Chick Corea takes it all to another level. Lenny is on fire this whole tune, and Stanley holding it down as always. I especially love the ending sequence. I hope you enjoy. So this is Return to Forever from their 1975 album No Mystery. This is a fan pick from Brian Moss of Spafford, and we're listening to Flight of the Newborn right here on Galaxy Jams Reacts. Oh, that echoey drum. I like it already. Immediately going off the rails.
I wasn't expecting it to swing as hard as it's swinging. Like when I think of like 70s fusion, I don't, like this is like very laid back groove. Right. It's awesome.
That was cool.
Yeah.
This guitar almost sounds like keys.
I think they're doubling the same melody right there, maybe. Yeah. So maybe it is kind of like the line is blurred, maybe.
I love how they're committing to that delay on the drums.
Yeah, that's great.
We'll be right back.
That drummer is everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Incredible.
He specifies, is this Lenny White on drums?
I can look it up.
I believe so. I love how bright the bass tone is, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It reminds me like, it almost reminds me of like Chris Squire in the Astro Jumbo.
Yeah, it's Lenny White.
Nice.
Oh, that's so smooth.
The guitar sounding like a synth.
A little bit.
I almost feel like it's deliberate.
I think so. I think you're right.
And they turn the bass super high in the mix, too.
It sounds like he's gonna break the string. It's awesome. Stanley Clark, right?
Yep.
Sound like Les Claypool.
So hard to find a place to stop and to talk about it.
I know.
Yeah.
Holy cow. Yeah.
We haven't even gotten a Chick Corea solo yet. Jeez.
I love how each one of their solos, they come up and then they're still jamming in the background. They slide underneath the next person that's getting ready to do their solo. It's a really, really cool mix, too. I do like how it almost sounds like you're right there in the room with them, the way that it's mixed, and especially how the drums sound and everything.
I love when
that's my favorite thing about 70s recordings in general. Like the drums just sound like they're not treated or anything. It's right. Just made them loud. They just recorded them.
Right.
You know?
They didn't try to change the tone or anything. They're just like setting microphones.
Yeah.
All right,
same with
it.
Like, I mean, every instrument sounds like so 70s to me in this. And that's some of my favorite sounds that exist, especially like that bass tone is like,
yes.
It's like, I mean, I know it's probably not the most ideal bass tone for a lot of styles, but like that's my favorite kind of bass. That's the bass tone that like makes me perk up most of the time. Is that kind of overdriven? Like,
yeah.
I mean, my ears are sort of tuned to guitar frequencies, so I guess I like kind of overdriven bright bass. You know,
right. Like, I love when bass like you said, he sounds like he's about to fucking break the strings, but like he got so into it at one point, it almost sounds like rubbery, like he's like, blah, 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 like, and I'm
yeah,
just like
great.
Oh
yeah. I actually saw when I was in college, or maybe just left college, I was living in Boston, and I saw Lenny White, the drummer, playing at a hotel in Harvard Square.
Oh, nice. Oh cool.
I didn't really know anything about Return to Forever. I think I knew he was the drummer in it, but I was there mostly because Jimmy Herring was playing guitar with him, which was incredible. Nice. There's some great videos of that on YouTube somewhere too.
Where'd
but
you
I
say
remember
it was?
Him. It was at a hotel.
Okay.
It was like in a hotel bar, maybe like Ryle's or Regatta Bar. One of the, it's something with
it
an.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I really thought that, especially in the very beginning, like they were playing all this like unconventional things and going, like I said earlier, like off the rails. And I really like that because when you become so proficient at your instrument that you're able to like deviate from the norm because you know exactly what the norm is. And that's how you know the hallmark of a great musician is when they can break the rules because they're so good at following the rules in the first place.
Just about to say, knowing how to break the rules.
Yeah, I love that on a notes level, on a pitch level. I really love when people can do that rhythmically too, that they can just like, they don't have to be on a grid of 16th notes or eighth notes or triplets or what have you. They can just make sound.
Right.
And then always come back on the agreed upon grid at a moment's notice if they want.
I feel like you guys do that really well as a band. Specifically,
oh gosh,
Neil just fucking, he'll catch me off guard when I listen to you guys live sometimes. And I'm like, what is it? And then it's like a pause, and then you guys all come back just like so.
Thanks. Naturally. I think the first musician I think of when I think of that is Oteil Burbridge, bass player.
He's incredible
at completely disregarding time, and not disregarding it at all. He has the utmost respect for it. That's why he can deviate and come back whenever he wants. But he's so elastic about it. He knows how to break the rules of the Matrix or something, you know?
I feel like he's got a lot of that figured out listening to him speak.
Well, you can almost do whatever you want just as long as you land in the appropriate places, even if it's like very, very far and few between and spaced out unevenly. If you like, can land like you, then you can jump like as high as you can, essentially. And that's one thing that I think a lot of drummers, like the good ones do, is that they'll just like fly off the handle and just go, go, go. But then like they snap back and the whole band snaps back with them. And it's just a hallmark of, you know, a great musician to be able to like count all that out and like have the whole band to trust you that you're going to make it and like bring it all back. You know,
that's a beautiful thing to see too.
I feel like as a younger musician, I used to catch myself in this misconception of like, you can only only play things that could be written down in music notation. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then if you did something that wasn't that, it was just sloppy or something. Right.
Or wrong.
It wouldn't work or something.
I mean, if you tried to like notate Hendrix's like Voodoo Child solo.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think you could do it, you know? Like it's just, yeah, it's, I mean, it's just,
it's beautiful.
It's nature. It's like all this, chaos. You know, just, yeah, it's just chaos. It's, I don't think he could have played it that way again if he wanted, you know. It was a one shot deal.
It's just a raw feel around the melody line that he knows he wants to hit, you know. So he just knows, as long as I keep it around there somewhere, I can do whatever I want to.
Well, that one Stanley Clark bass thing, it's almost like he just like threw up on the fretboard a little bit in the best way.
Right.
It was incredible. Where he's
I remember that.
And that was great. I feel like you would have to, like, if you were transcribing a solo, you would just have to write down to do that. Be like, just throw up.
Every note.
Yeah. You know, bars 30 through 42, throw up.
Throw up on the bass.
That's the only way you'd be able to notate it.
I love that.
Cool.
And that delay on the drums just fills out so much space.
Oh, yeah, it's nice.
I know it's not, but I want it to be a melodica. There he goes, throwing up again.
Wow. That was sick.
Yeah, that was like a spaceship taking off. And now it's like super deliberate, right? From going from all over the place to being like grounded. Like
popping right back in.
Yeah.
Aldi Viola's comp into the key solo is like really fearless too. Absolutely. Like it's almost borderline disrespectful.
Disrespectful.
Well, just like he's not afraid to like
take it there.
Interact, you know? He's not afraid. He doesn't need to stay out of the way. It's great. I love stuff like that.
You just have. Oh my god. Wow. I was like about to talk. I'm like, I gotta let that.
Sick.
Jesus.
That's crazy.
Oh, beautiful.
It was a nice sign off.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it was.
That was wonderful.
Yeah. They saved the best for last, huh?
Right. Because they kept doing it like in little spurts throughout the song. And we're like, that was cool. And then they're like, we're just going to do it like forever. And I'm like, you can do that. I would like that.
Yeah.
You can keep going. I accept gracefully.
Yeah. Really, really cool. Thank you so much, Brian, for that great recommendation for us.
That was a good one.
I loved that one. That was great.
Yeah, we really, really appreciate it. We're going to be listening to another song that Rob picked right after this.
See you.
All right. So this is a song called Golden Hour by Club Delph. This is their new album. I've been listening to a ton of Club Delph right now because I'm playing with them next week. So I've had to learn a ton of their music. I learned this one only to find out we weren't going to play it, but I'm glad I learned it anyways. I mean, my head has to kind of be tuned to this right now because it's been such like a sort of like process of me understanding this to be prepared to play some of this music. Mm-hmm. But they do this really playful way of messing around with 6/8 and 12/8 time signatures and how they're, sort of, I mean, 12/8 is really just a really triplety 4/4 for anyone who's rhythmically inclined and knows what I mean when I say that. Not really much changes in the groove, but your feel of the pulse will completely change given the A section to the B section. Like the time signature actually stays the same, but the feel totally changes.
Right.
Really just like a beautiful, simple melody. It's so gorgeous. And the guitar solo at the end is incredible. It's so beautiful. It's by Duke Levine, who I've studied with in the past. He's a Boston guitar player and one of my favorites. And one of my favorite guitar tones I've heard in a really long time, too. I loved it so much I texted him to ask what he was using.
Love that.
But we'll talk about that later. So, anyways.
All right. Strong words from Rom Compa. We're here on Galaxy Jams Reacts, listening to Club Delph from their 2022 album, You Never Know. We're here listening to Golden Hour.
Off the back, I really like this album art.
Yeah, it's cool, isn't it?
Yeah, what's funny is that Neil, your drummer, brought a Club Delph song from this album to share on the show as well.
We are in a band together.
Great soundscape they're creating.
Absolutely.
So nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure another one of my old teachers from college, Kevin Barry, is playing lap steel on this, or maybe pedal steel.
Oh, that is a cool rhythm.
Yeah, now it feels like what we know is like a blues 12/8, I guess you would call it.
Yeah.
Now it feels more like 6/8.
Very bluesy, jazzy.
Mm-hmm.
so like ethereal sounding.
See, now it feels just like a really triplety 4-4-1-3-4.
Right, because he's bringing the ride and the crashes in there.
Yeah.
I see what you mean, how it's like it stays the same, but it changes completely.
Almost, you're not sure if nothing changed except your perception of it sometimes. Uh-huh. And then... I like how the guitar joins in on the bass melody in the last time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really
sweet.
The bass
is so strong, too.
Doing that weird synthy, I can't even describe it. It's so mad, so much.
What an incredible soundscape they have going on.
Absolutely.
it's just so lush
and subtle.
Yeah, subtle, lush.
It's
but everybody
subtle.
Is just doing like the perfect thing, mm-hmm. with each other. I do love that part where the guitar came in.
Yeah.
So this is the solo I was talking about. It's Duke Levine. Very, mm-hmm. I mean, he's typically, I associate him as being kind of a Nashville. He's not a Nashville guy. He lives in Boston, but very like Telecaster, country picking kind of guy. But he can do anything in the world. Right now, he's on tour with Bonnie Raitt.
Oh, wow.
But he's very like almost David Gilmour vibes in this one. And he has this incredible like fuzz, like thick tone that's like for any guitar players out there, you probably can sympathize that fuzz is a really tricky, finicky effect to get a good sound out of.
Absolutely.
I don't know how he does it, because it's like one of my favorite guitar tones I've heard in a long time.
You mentioned that someone that you knew in college was playing in this. How did you find out about Club Delph?
Because we used to go see him at this place called Lizard Lounge in Boston. And they're sort of the band itself is only the drummer and bass player are permanent most of the time. I think Mr. Rourke, the turntablist, might be there all the time too, but it's like a very rotating cast of like hundreds of musicians.
Right.
Maybe, I don't know. So many. I found one recording of Mark Rebo from that Tom Waits song where he's playing a show with them.
Oh,
like,
wow.
So it changes all the time, but their name was just around when we were at Berkeley. It was like, you got to go see Club Delph. It'll change your life. And we would go see him at this place called Lizard Lounge. And Lizard Lounge is the perfect vibe for them. It almost feels like, you're a Twin Peaks fan. It feels like the White Lodge in Twin Peaks.
I've heard great things. I feel like I've heard that name thrown around a lot.
It's just such a cool place. Like
also,
very like
that
cabaret
great.
Vibe.
Love
creepy
Twin
cabaret
Peaks.
Vibe. So yeah, we would go see him. But Duke, we used to see play all the time. Levine, and he would play with him sometimes. Kevin Berry and another guitar player who plays with him a lot, David Tronzo, were both Berkeley teachers of mine.
Uh-oh.
So I probably
really
found
cool.
out about him through them just as much as hearing through the grapevine too.
Right Honestly, it's beautiful. I love this so much. It's
in the great,
it's going under my instrumental almost immediately.
Kind of reminds me of Boards of Canada.
This part almost reminds me of like Pink Floyd-esque.
Yeah, definitely Pink Floyd vibes in this part,
in the way that it kind of like envelops you.
Kind of superimposing that 6-8 feel on top of the 4-4 feel, you know,
is really cool. The interplay is great.
Oh, I like how he was almost going double time.
What a wonderful guitar solo.
It's he's one of the best.
Turntablist
just kind of doing his thing.
Yeah.
He's on Dopapod's first album on a few tunes too.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Ooh, I like those, that flanger.
Yeah. Isn't that cool?
And they're fading in like that, like hiss, tape deck hiss too.
I noticed that kind of at the beginning and then there at the end again. That little.
Very cool. Yeah, that crackling. Yeah, it's like you're by a fireplace.
Yeah.
I love jazz, if you like. I think we could say that this is semi in that category.
Right.
Yeah.
I think they'd be okay with that, although it's so many things put together. But
definitely I love when
jazz records are open to production.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It kind of brings
one of my
that.
Favorites of that, which is for another day, is the John Scofield album Uber Jam. It's like jazz that's also open to the idea of like playing the studio like an instrument. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like they're really good. Club Delta's great at that.
Take advantage of that makes such a difference.
But anyways, that guitar, I mean, I love everything he plays over. He could have played anything he wanted, but he still didn't. You know, he could have played crazy fast double time stuff or something, but he didn't. Is just right, you know. I texted him and I was like, man, how do you get the tone on that solo on Golden Hour? And he was like, which one's that again? and I was like, I don't know, man, you've got this really cool fuzz tone and it's like this really pretty slow thing. And he was like, oh, right. I think it was called something else when we recorded it. And he said it was this pedal called Analog Man Sunface.
Oh,
cool.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I'm tempted to buy one a little bit, but I know I won't sound like Duke Levine if I get one. So not
practice,
worth it.
Practice.
It's still nice. I wanted to know, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he usually, I've seen him use a 50s Telecaster most of the time, but he uses Les Pauls too. I almost feel like that's like a Les Paul or something. It sounds so big.
Yeah,
but
it does sound.
I don't know. Who knows? But yeah, I love that song. It's great. That whole CD has been just kind of like, I don't even take it out of my car CD player because my car is old enough to still have a CD player.
I miss that.
Cool. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that. I think we have time for just one more.
Sure.
So we're going to be listening to our last song right after this. All right, we're back with Galaxy Jams Reacts, here with PRS Guitars endorsed artist, Rob Compa from Dopapod. Thanks so much for joining us, Rob. You doing good?
I'm doing great. Thank you. My wife has been sitting in the room out of the frame, and I wish she could hear all the music we're listening to, but she's just sitting there laughing at me.
Awesome. We'll be sure to send you all of the recordings. So thanks again. Are you familiar with King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard?
I am familiar with them. I have not gotten to see them. My wife, who I just mentioned, got to go see them last month in Burlington, where we live. I didn't get to go because it was sold out. But...
Oh, yeah. you could just tell them who you are and they'll get you in there. You know, you got to pull the old, say I'm a PRS guitar endorsed artist. They'll say, here's a lobster.
the vilest thing I could do.
Yeah, I think so. I'd have to agree with you there.
Yeah. We're going to be listening to an album called Nonagon Infinity. Have you ever checked that one out?
No, I haven't. The only one I've really checked out is Polywanagondaland, I think it's called.
Right. Yeah, that's a really prolific one. This is one that was made around the same time and is widely considered one of their, best albums that comes close to like the sound that they're going for. And so this is King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard with their 2016 album, Nonagon Infinity. We're listening to People Vultures.
You know, the visuals are about to be good too.
Yeah, they do a great job with their videos.
Looks like an old episode of Power Rangers.
Oh my god, yeah.
Buddies are going to be coming out in a second.
Oh, that's so
nice.
That
was cool.
It's like hipster magical mystery tour or something like that.
There you go.
This is great.
It sounds so lo-fi.
Oh, there's the putties I was talking about.
Yeah, the putty patrol.
Or something that like kind of like corny organ that's in there.
Right.
It's great.
Ooh, come on, tornado kick.
Pretty impressive.
The absolute hugeness of the sound that they get is, I love when they do that. Mm-hmm. It's just so, it's, if you didn't know the band and you were like, there's, 100 musicians playing right now, you'd be like, yep.
Yeah, it's totally relentless. And also, I like that progression that they were doing. It's like da-da, 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 da-da. It kind of reminds me of like Moroccan music almost, or like Middle Eastern music. They use that progression a lot. Mm-hmm. And also, I really enjoy the drums. And everything just has this like super fuzzy, lo-fi, garage band, indie type of sheen to it, which I really enjoy because you know that they did that like on purpose.
Intentionally,
It's that Australian psychedelia that's going on.
I got to be honest, the video was so stimulating that I haven't even taken note of the musical stuff. It would take an entire other pass.
They have
the
so
video
much
is just like so entertaining that I like. There's, I mean, it really. I don't know. I mean, I feel like that Power Rangers thing. That has to be on purpose. Like, it's just like an episode of Power Rangers.
It's like cheap.
With the effects.
If you could even get cheaper, it's like Power Rangers, like with papier mache.
That stuff probably was paper mache in 1992.
Some of those early episodes, they were pretty close.
Right. They were pretty, yeah, pretty low budget. But yeah, man, I
love this. The drums. I also love
bands like King Gizzard and some other stuff where like you could listen to the whole song and only get a rough idea of where beat one is.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Correct. They don't give your brain like a chance to like adjust and be like, this is what we're doing. They're kind of like just like out the gate. And like the whole time you're racing, especially on a first listen, you're just sort of like just taking it. And then that's why like you go through another pass later and you're like, oh, okay. Like I'm actually able to like see what they're trying to do here as opposed to just like kind of existing while this plays.
Right.
Yeah. And at this point, I mean, I love simple music, but sometimes I kind of need something to ruminate on to keep me coming back over and over and over again. I almost got to be like, what was
what
that?
The fuck,
like, right.
I didn't even figure out what was not that I need to like learn how to play it or anything, but it's like
it's
sometimes I almost like for my ADD or something, I have to have like something confusing in there that I'm or like a puzzle
something challenging. To kind of come back to figure out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or something that intentionally 100%. Sticks out.
Keeps you engaged.
Yeah, this just seems like a straightforward rock and roll garage punk.
Just in your face. Deal.
Yeah. It kind of creates this like hypnotic, you know.
Especially with the synth in the back.
That was cool. Oh!
It almost looks like the bird is screeching.
That crazy thing he's doing with his guitar.
Oh, iconic. That was dope.
Sick. Oh, and he became a guitar.
Oh. That was crazy. There were so many things.
Yeah, it's just crazy how much music they're able to make because they come out with like 8 albums a year. Like
it is. I got to be honest, so there could have been no music in that music video and I still would have loved
it. I would have watched it anyway.
Because the video was so great. Yeah.
And I'm wondering because they're like a group of like 6, right? And then they have this whole team behind them. Mm-hmm. And it obviously costs money to do that video. So I'm just wondering how they all sat down and like talked about it and then agreed. And
like, what does that mean? Look
yeah,
like.
When you guys film your
hey,
music,
we're all gonna get in this bird, and we're gonna record. We're gonna be in the
right.
bird.
Yeah, exactly. They're like in the bird, and then he's like, "Yes," in and they're bird. Like, "You know, that's gonna cost us like $1 billion more," and then they're like, "It's worth it. I need to be in the bird."
Completely unrelated note. I want to know who made the bird. Right. That was impressive, and it held all of them.
The whole thing was cool. So, Rob, you have a lot of very very cool things going on. You guys just did a very very big tour, and you guys. Are about to go on another tour. Do you have anything that's actually in particular that you want to talk about? That's something really cool you're looking forward to doing?
Yeah, plug yourself.
Oh God, I hate plugging myself, but
shameless plug.
Well, the I'm doing 3 shows with Club Delph, who we listened to earlier.
Cool.
Coming up, and Eli, our keyboard player, is doing 1 or 2 with them as well.
Nice.
I'm really excited for that. That's been like just the kind of challenge I've been hoping for lately because it's a lot of rhythms and sounds that are new to me. So, you know, the older you get as a musician, like you don't have a whole lot of time to practice. You kind of just say yes to things that are a little outside of your comfort zone.
Right.
And you learn and grow that way.
Well, that's what makes you better.
Yeah.
The older you get, that's how you get better. Like, you don't have as much time to practice growing or transcribe or, you know, get some book or something.
Right.
So I'm really excited for those. We're doing one this week in Burlington on September 24th. I'm also the day after that in Burlington at Nectar's, for any Fish fans out there. It's like the bar where like Fish
are playing
college.
Cool.
We're doing the I'm doing an aquarium rescue unit tribute at Nectar's, which I'm really stoked about because I just get to play them. Just get to play Jimmy Herring stuff all night with a bunch of my kind of friends who are just Burlington musicians. It's me, Adrian Tramontano, who was in The Breakfast with Tim Palmieri, and Bob Wagner, who's also playing guitar. A bunch of great musicians. Josh Weinstein.
Ooh.
Leon Campos. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, so I'm excited for those. And then in October, there's a couple more Club Delf ones. And
is Dopapod coming to Virginia anytime soon?
Probably, and I just don't remember exactly when, because I almost, when we're leaving again on tour on October, I don't know, 19th or 20th or something.
Right.
And I almost always just look at the first date of tour, and then I don't even look at all the other ones, because if I do, I'll kind of go nuts.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm really excited because it's been, you know, summer is always funny for bands because you play festivals.
Festival season.
And sort of these short, kind of rushed shows, and fall tour is when we become like a better band because we can we have all day to sound check and rehearse and do all these weird things, and we play a long time. We'll get back to doing two sets every night,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Where we really like are
fine-tune everything,
we'll get back into fighting shape. I'm really looking forward to that. Yeah,
cool. I think that we're all looking forward to that too. We really want to thank you so much for coming and listening to music with us. We had the best time. I also want to thank you, EJ, and I want to thank you, Anna, for being here. I also want to thank everyone that's watching and participating in the chat. On Monday, October 26th, we're going to be listening to music with Emmy Award-winning artist Cloud Chord, and then on October 8th, we're going to be listening to music with Grammy Award-winning artist Bill Lawrence from Snarky Puppy.
Ooh.
Yep. Yes. And then we're also just announced is at the end of October, we're listening to music with Tom Hamilton Jr. from Billy and the Kids and J-Rad.
Nice.
So stay tuned on our website. And thanks again, Rob, for listening to music with us. We can't wait until the next time that we get a chance to listen to music together. And we wish you all the very, very best of luck on those upcoming Club Delf shows, Dopapod tour, and everything in the future.
Thank you so much. I had a great time listening to music with all of you.
Thank you guys for watching. Bye. Bye-bye.